Well, howdy doody, kids. What time is it, kids?
Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
I can hear it in that wolf's voice, his throat right there. The heat's getting them down. Even the wolves, huh? They had a haircut the other day, and they are, they're breaking a sweat, aren't they? A lot of us are. Good afternoon. Happy Friday, everybody. Hour number one, the Wolf Brewing Company All Request and Dedication Program. Yes, we are live and in summer colors here on KLDB Radio 1220 on your AM dial. Wake the town, tell the people. We have something very special for you today. Stan Turner right here in the host chair, Bobby J. Bobby, how you doing over there, brother?
Doing good, thank you.
Do we have wet stuff falling from the skies right
now? Actually, right now, no, at least on the East Metro.
Okay, yeah, we'll keep you apprised of the weather stuff as we go along here. But we have much more important stuff to take care of this afternoon. We always try to bring you a special program. That is our aim. But today, I think we can put an extra special top of all that. And folks, let's remember by we asking you this. Remember this guy?
WDGY Top 40 time, 9 minutes after 5 on the Top 40 show. 35 Ouija degrees, still way above freezing there. Heading toward a low tonight of 20 above.
You've got to be kidding. 20 above. Huh? Boy, there is a voice to be remembered. There's an influence to be acknowledged, and there is a life to be celebrated. A pop music, pop culture dynamo around these parts from the 1950s and through the decades that followed. On the radio, a guy who proclaimed himself variously the deacon of the discs, the purveyor of the platters, the wizard of the wax, and the Raja of the records. Yep, this guy was the real deal. He loved puns. Bill Deal. Bill left us last Saturday at age 90, last Wednesday, I should say, at age 91, left us in body, but not in spirit. His love of music and performers and movies and words and just plain fun will remain with us for a very long time. So, folks, we're going to dedicate the All Request show this Friday to Bill Deal, deservedly so. And we send out our love and condolences to Bill's wife, Helen. We do love you, Helen. Hope to see you soon. And I know you're going to be just fine. Mm-hmm. To help us celebrate Bill's life and impact on our pop culture, two guys who knew Bill very well. In fact, they worked with Bill at the St. Paul newspapers. Rick Shefchik and Don Effenberger are well known to many of you and certainly listeners of this program. They are our, I like to call them our pop music gurus. Well, gentlemen, welcome. There he is here in an appropriate pose right there, Mr. Shefchik. Right. Mr. Guru number one or two, and Don Effenberger, welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to have you back. First time you met Bill Deal. What do you recollect? What was it like? What were your impressions, Don?
Oh, the first time I saw him, he was walking through the library at the Pioneer Press back to his little cubby hole way back in the deal. And tall guy, moved with all this attention, and just jaw dropped. I listened to him growing up, you know, won records from him when I was 13 or 14. Hmm. So, and then 20 years later, I end up as his boss for a while. So.
An icon comes to life. And Rick Shefchik, you said he didn't walk through a newsroom. He strode.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Bill didn't mind you paying attention to him.
Well put.
We're all about the storytelling today, and of course the music. Bill Deal, this is a good show for those of you who remember Bill. A lot of you do. And for those of you who don't, I think this will be a kick too. It really will be. Just a quick resume of Bill, and this is only partial. Just so we want to lay the groundwork here, then we get going. Bill was born in St. Paul, a city he loved right to the end. He was born there in 1926, graduated St. Paul Central High School, was a carrier, a news kid. He carried the papers, delivered the papers for the St. Paul newspapers. He would go on to become a headline writer and a copy editor at the paper, newspaper columnist, movies, music, you name it, he did it. Became a radio TV host as a young kid, top 40 radio DJ, first at WDGY. He had some smaller jobs before that, but Ouija was his first big one. He mentored fledgling rock and roll bands and hosted teen dances. He emceed Rolling Stones' appearance out at Danceland. He emceed the 1965 Beatles concert at Met Stadium, then to CCO Radio. He was a pitch man, among other things, for Wally McCarthy's Lindahl Oles. Remember those on Saturday morning? He was a world traveler with his beautiful wife, Helen, did miscellaneous newspaper duties in last year's of the paper, and hosted at-home movie nights with his wife, Helen, showing his travel logs. And what? Anyway, that's just a partial resume, guys. What did he do in his... Rick, I think you said it.
Spare time?
There was no spare time as far as Bill was concerned. He milked three lifetimes worth of experience and put it into one.
I'd say at least three.
Yeah. In your book, Rick, didn't you talk about how he'd go 24 hours without sleeping and then make it up some other time?
Yeah.
I think he was still waiting to make it up.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Don Effenberger, one of our pop music heroes, with us today in studio, a longtime news editor at the St. Paul newspapers, and worked with you, where, as you said, his boss, his editor,
yeah,
for a
yeah.
while. But that had to be a fun duty.
Yeah.
And also Rick Shefchik, you wrote the TV and radio column for a long time, other duties, and you are the author of a best-selling book, now in its third edition. Everybody's heard about The Bird, the true story of 1960s rock and roll in Minnesota. And you dedicate an entire chapter to
Bill Deal.
To Bill Deal.
The idea when I sat down to, when I signed the contract to write the book, Bill was the very first phone call I made right after that. I mean, probably within an hour of signing, because, you know, I hadn't been in contact with Bill for a while. I knew he was getting up in age. I think he was maybe 87 when I interviewed him. But I knew that without Bill Deal, there really wasn't a book there. At least, you know, there would be all of these references to a guy that was so huge. He was a colossus of that era. And if I couldn't get an interview with him, that would be an enormous void. After we did the interview, I realized I sat down with him for 6 hours, recorded the whole thing.
Six straight hours.
No break. And there were still things that we could have talked about that we didn't cover. But when I started transcribing the interview that I did with Bill, I started to realize this isn't just a thread that goes through the book. This needs to be almost a mini biography of this man.
Yeah.
You can't just start out with, oh, yeah, he got hired by WDGY Radio in 1957. I had to go back to his first paper route.
Yeah.
And the stories that he told me about carrying the Pioneer Press and Dispatch were probably better than, you know, two-thirds of the rest of the book. It was just...
He was put in charge of collecting delinquent subscription fees.
And a story I just heard, and I don't know if you guys can confirm this, but that because a lot of those were from his own route, they sent Bill out to collect those as his job, his first job at the paper, to make up for a $600 shortfall that had come up because those deadbeats were people who weren't paying him.
Yeah, right.
They had to collect the money as well as deliver the paper.
And Bill would go so far as to go into a brothel.
Oh,
yes,
really?
Even if it was a makeshift brothel, go up on the second floor and take the money off the top of the dresser.
Oh, I did hear that.
All the while, you know,
right? There were two couples going out.
Well, kind of, but that's a true story. Just part of the lore of Bill Deal, the lore of the music he helped mentor and you know, bring along, nurture young fledgling musicians here in the 1960s, which you chronicle so well. And Bobby J, Gregory D and the Avantes had a huge hit. Just one of many that Bill helped along. Gregory D, just briefly, why don't you set up the song here? We'll hear.
Yes, this is a song that was the second single by a band out of Minneapolis. Greg Maland was the keyboard player. He'd switched over from guitar and started playing this enormous Hammond organ, which created their signature sound. And when they decided to do this instrumental that he came up with on a very cold night up in northern Minnesota, they brought a bunch of their high school buddies into the studio to create a party atmosphere. And you can hear that right on the track here.
Here's a record that Bill Deal really got behind, right?
Top 40 time. Let's all check our ticky-tock. 14 and a half minutes after 5, 14 and a half after 5. On the Ouija-mometer, it's 3-5, 35 Ouija degrees, heading toward a low tonight, an okay 20 above.
Where the heck is my Ouija-mometer? I don't seem to have it around here. And the time, Bill Deal, the time's wrong. It's 12:13 right now. That's Billy Deal. This is our tribute to Bill Deal, our long-lost friend now. It's not that long-lost, though. We're celebrating his life, his contributions to pop music and pop culture here. What a guy he was. And he'll be with us for a very long time in spirit, that's for sure. The Grind there by Gregory D. and the Avanti, that's a piece of wax that Bill Deal spun many times on the old turntables. A little backstory about the organ there and Gregory D.
Right. They had to haul this heavy Hammond B3 organ to all of their jobs once they created the signature sound for themselves. And one night up in northern Minnesota, it got below zero, and by the time they got the organ onto the stage, the motor was frozen. They turned on the electricity and tried to get the motor up to speed, and Gregory D. just kept playing these chords to see if it was ready to play. But the chords he was playing was sort of interesting. It was a pattern that he hadn't really done before. And as the motor is grinding up to its full speed, he thought, okay, I think we've got a song here. I'm going to call it The Grind.
And that's what we just heard. It never broke out of the region as a big hit. It was a big hit around here on the two top 40 stations of the day, KDWB AM 630 and DGY, which is 1130 AM on the dial back in those days.
And again, step back and think about that. Yeah. A big hit locally by, you know, some high school kids from Minneapolis. Right. It just doesn't happen anymore.
Does not.
And people like Bill Deal were the reason it happened.
Exactly.
Because these kids could make a record and bring it over to Bill at the radio station and say, if you like this, would you put it on the air? If Bill liked it, he put it on the
Absolutely.
Air.
Absolutely. That's how it worked in those days. That's why I like to say, I have always said that, or felt, deeply believe that Bill Deal is the Dick Clark of our part of the world, right?
There
are many stunning parallels between the two guys. Yep. Dick operated on a national stage and did his show, Dick Clark did, on national television eventually, American Bandstand. But without the television, Bill Deal was doing essentially the same thing here. He was breaking records, as you just said, breaking them out to the public. He was doing sock hops, they called him. He was emceeing out there. He was a dynamo. He was a man in motion, but always getting behind these new bands, encouraging them. He was writing in the newspaper, something Dick Clark did not do. Bill Deal was a very literate man, a guy kind of self-taught in a way. I don't think he went to college, but
he went to McAllister for a while.
I don't think he graduated. That matters. No. But the guy had just a great, perfect ear, perfect pitch for grammar and sentence structure. And he cared deeply about that. So his columns were wonderful, too. So he had an audience there. So he had a big audience, both on broadcast, even did some TV for Stanley Hubbard at one time, and chose the Pioneer Press over a TV show.
That's right. Stanley said, I would love to have you come work for me. And Bill said, well, you know, I can do nights, I can do weekends. And Stanley said, oh, no, if I hire you, you have to work full-time for me. And Bill said, well, I'm sorry, but the newspaper is my number one job, and I'm staying with it.
Do you remember what Bill used to say WDGY stood for?
Here, we've got it in his own words.
So let's do it, Bobby. Yeah. Oh. Okay.
I looked at the initial WDGY, and I started... They mean where Deal greets you.
That's great.
Hi, this is Bill Deal on WDGY. You know what WDGY stands for. Where Deal greets you. WDGY. Couldn't make the other dish jockeys so happy.
That part of Rick Shefchik's six-hour sit-down interview, nonstop, with Bill Deal, what, 2013,
was it? Yeah, I did it, I believe, in September of 2013. Yeah. And I used a digital recorder. At the time, I was thinking, this is just to help me with my notes. Mm-hmm. I wish I'd had the foresight to realize that after Bill left radio, he really didn't do this kind of thing anymore, and I would have bought a more expensive recorder. But
where Deal greets...
Yeah.
Actually, it stood for Dr. George Young.
That's right.
Wasn't that really DGY, what it was? Yeah. But not after Bill got through it. That's for sure. An amazing guy. He put his stamp on just about everything. And he could laugh at himself, guys, too, couldn't he?
He knew how egocentric it was to do something like that. It didn't bother him at all.
Raja of the Records. And in fact, you name your chapter in your book Raja of the Records, because that's what he called himself, Wizard of the Wax and all the rest. He really had the quality of joie de vivre. You know, he just really loved life and every minute minute of it, and he spent every minute. We've talked to Don his legendary work days. He did an interview, and you capture this in your book too, Rick, but I think he talked to a guy named Jim Karnstadt back in 1965. They sat down and chatted for a while in that one, and Bill was asked, what's a typical average day for you? And he said, well, it starts with my day at the newspaper. And get this, folks, unbelievable. An entertainment editor, I check clubs. As entertainment editor, I check the clubs, the theaters, call Hollywood, I call New York, and usually attend a movie screening in the morning. All that in the morning, folks. In the afternoon, I write my six-day-a-week entertainment column, Look and Listen, along with my Saturday record column called Platter Poll. Then I do band bookings in the late afternoon. From about 6 to 8 p.m., I get to a movie screening, and afterwards, a personal appearance or two. Lastly, I like that, I run out to the station, DGY, I suppose, to tape dance commercials. Sometimes I'll go 24 hours without a wink, but eventually I'll catch up.
So true.
And that's no exaggeration.
No,
that really is the way he ran.
And he lived a long life.
He did, 91 years old. And
maybe that's the secret.
Maybe that is. And he would tell you that he was not a drinker and not a, you know, not a drugger or anything like that. He was, and again, the parallel with Dick Clark and Bill Deal, two well-groomed guys you would have over to your house, have them in your living room. And I think, you know, rock and roll was viewed as a threat, the music of the devil back in the 50s with Elvis and Jerry Lee Lewis. And looking at these two guys, a lot of parents had to take a look at these fresh, scrubbed, well-groomed guys, these adults like Dick Clark and Bill Deal, and say, well, if they embrace rock and roll, maybe it's not too dangerous after all for my little boy and girl.
Bill dressed many of these groups in suits and ties. Too, in there, and he wore a suit and tie to the office.
He did
many years. When he's on a copy desk and for a long, long time.
Bill was not averse, however, to coming up with other types of costumes for rock bands. There was one that he managed. Well, he didn't manage them, but he booked them. Little Caesar and the Conspirators. Oh. And he had them. He recommended that they deck themselves out in togas and sandals.
Probably a laurel wreath, too.
No doubt about it.
There was Little Caesar and the Romans, so this was a local take on
exactly.
that.
Exactly, yes.
Conspirators, that's right. Yeah.
Bill, you didn't have to wear the toga, though, did you? Amazing guy. We're spending this program today, the Wolf Brewing Company All Request and Dedication Program, celebrating the life. Bill would not want a dirge. He would not want a funeral.
Absolutely not
at all. We need to celebrate and have fun and share the joy that he felt in his work, both on the newspaper and in the pop music, pop culture field. We're going to take a break here. Bobby, thanks, Bobby. You're pulling up all the wonderful sounds for us of Bill Deal and the music that went along with it, especially back in the late 50s and into the early years of the 1960s and the mid-60s too, when Bill finally went over to the other side of radio, didn't he? The good neighbor, they called themselves, 830-CCO. But we're looking right now at the rock and roll era, the part of his life. So we'll be back with you in just a second.
Come on, you know you want to. Call Stan Turner and get your request or dedication on the air. Call 651-275-1220. The Wolf Brewing All Request and Dedication Show on KLBB.
Oh, there it is, that sound of money. And a little bit later on, we're going to be playing from Contest Central, WDGY, the home of instant money, the original Ouija Sounds of Money. WDGY Top 40 time, 21 minutes after 5. It's current and official, a very mild 3535 Ouija degree.
That reminds me of an old Laurel and Hardy film in a horn factory. Huh? All the beeps and whistles going off there during the old... That's about 1957, Bobby, isn't it? WDGY.
That's right, yeah.
And you are tuned to KLBB, despite all the WDGY, because we're celebrating the life of our late and lamented friend, Bill Deal, a man who had just, who knows, an immeasurable impact on pop music and pop culture around here. Bill passed away this past Wednesday at the age of 91. I think Helen's listening today. Helen, we love you, and we hope to see you soon.
Sure do.
When you're able to see us, we'd love to get together and just sit down and just celebrate you, too. You're just a wonderful lady, so thank you. Bill Deal. This guy, in so many, you know, interesting paradox, I think, about Bill Deal. You had mentioned how wonderfully groomed he was. But I always thought Bill was kind of lost in the 50s in the way he dressed. His view, his vision of life, all the old austerities from the Eisenhower era, you know, very mm-hmm. proper guy, prim and proper. Yet he embraces what some people call the devil's music, rock and roll. You know, he was standing athwart or astride both these seemingly conflicting kinds of things. It always amazed me how he would, why he would do that, how he would bring himself to do it. And in his movie reviews, too, if there was frontal nudity, he let you in a very disparaging tone, told you, but yet he wrote about it and probably got more people to see the movie who otherwise wouldn't have gone had they not known there was some flesh in there.
His longtime boss, John Finnegan, said the old saw is that if Bill hated the movie, you'd probably like
it. You better go see it. That's right. But, so what about these two sides of Deal? They appear to be in almost in conflict with themselves.
Well, you think about his appearance in the early to mid-60s, for instance, when rock and roll was really flowering. You know, the Beatles have come along, and the whole visual of music is changing radically. Bill never changed. Bill kept wearing his suits. Probably
his pants were up to here, up to his chest almost. And that's not a put down. He's just kind of the 50s, the way guys dressed then.
Yep. Still might sport a bow tie every now and then.
Yep.
And yet, I'm told that he cut quite a romantic figure with a number of the women who attended the shows.
Hard to believe, isn't it? He was a very handsome guy, blonde hair, Deal, a great German surname, blonde hair, blue eyes, great features.
Terribly smooth.
Yep, very. Yeah. And when he gave the temperature, it was 4 or 5. That's 45 degrees. That's right. That was the way they did it.
Could you ever speak as fast as Bill did then?
I think I'd hurt myself if I did.
It's almost like the Auctioneer song.
I call it the machine gun. It is. Yeah. Leroy Van Dyke. Yeah. That was the format then.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
They did not allow. I think you would be charged with a felony if you left what they called dead air between the end of a record and the start of your patter or a commercial. Uh-oh. It had to be nonstop, seamless, and that meant the disc jockey had to rap tat tat. You know, I call it a Gatling gun delivery, and that's what he did. You could hear it there.
Well, Bill told me he was one of the first people in the business to actually time out the intros and the outros of records, you know, before the vocals started.
Right.
So with every new record that came in, mm-hmm. he would time how long it took from the time that the first note played until the singing started. Yeah. So he would know how much information he could speak over that start of the record.
Today we call that the ramp. The instrumental lead-in is the ramp, and we have countdown clocks that you can use now to do that. It automatically tells you 10, 9, 8, 7 until you hit the vocal. No. We don't do that on the show here because maybe it's because Bobby and I like the musical or instrumental intros to a lot of songs, and a lot of people do. So I try not to step over them. You know, but that was the thing again back there. So we've got the conservative Bill Deal and the wild rock and roll, kind of the liberal, wild-eyed side of things,
and the innovative Bill Deal too.
And the innovative, he was creating, yes, all the time. And Bobby, we've got a song that was the most likely, unlikely of hits, called Surfin' Bird, and of course it lent itself to the title of your book. Everybody's heard about the bird by a group, another unlikely name, the Trashmen, garage band, Minneapolis, huh?
Yes, they were from. Let's see. Tony Andreessen was from Patrick Henry. I think two of the rest. Dal Winslow was from Robbinsdale. So was Steve Warr, the drummer, and the bass player Bob Reed was from North Dakota.
How'd that guy get in there? Huh?
Well, they were searching for a bass player, and when Bob auditioned, the fit was perfect.
Sure,
right.
Sure.
Although he was not sure about joining a band called the Trashmen. Yeah, think about that for a while.
I might agree with that, but it was very outre, very very strange and odd in a very strange and odd time. Anything went in the pop music field.
Well, and it may be a bit ironic that just 2 weeks ago, the man who wrote the song that they based their name on, Richard Kerr, Kyre, Tony Kyre is what he went by professionally, he died. And he was a bit reclusive, too. I tried to interview him because when he cut the song Trashmen Blues, that record jacket was prominently displayed in Steve Warr's den, and they happened to look at that when they were trying to think of a name of a band, and they said, well, let's do that. Let's call ourselves the Trashmen. So I wanted to talk to Tony Kyre, but he was – you couldn't find him, basically. He didn't want to be found.
He was somewhere in the woods, deep in the woods. Steve Warr, you mentioned, he is the drummer, and he is the guy doing the vocal, if that's what you want to call it.
That's
the Trashmen. Everybody's going to – we'll get to that in a minute. But the birth of this song and how Bill Deal not only embraced it but persuaded the Trashmen to put it out there.
Yeah, they came up with this song. It's a medley of two songs by a Los Angeles rhythm and blues group called the Rivingtons. And it wasn't their idea to do the medley. It was a band called the Sorensen Brothers who were touring from California.
Sorensen sounds like something from Fargo.
Yes, or, exactly. The Sorensen Brothers are more Minnesotan than the Trashmen. I mean, at least by name. But they were playing at Woodley's Country Dam. Steve Warer was there. He heard this band do this medley and thought, it's a great combination of these two songs, Papa Ooh Mau Mau and The Bird is the Word. But he said it would be a lot more fun if I did sort of a comic voice when I sing this. So he presented this to the rest of the Trashmen. They all thought it was great. They played it at Chubb's Ballroom, and Bill Deal was emceeing that night.
Chubb's Ballroom. Where would Chubb's Ballroom have been? Do we have any idea?
It was a Minneapolis ballroom, okay. But I can't pin down the location. So they play it the first time, and basically what Steve said was, you know, I'll let you guys know when I'm going to stop, take a breath, you know, when it's time to change keys. I'll just nod my head and you guys follow me. So they did, and it was a huge success with the kids at the dance that day, and they demanded that they play it again. They ended up doing it 5 times that day, and at the end of the gig, Bill Deal said, you guys have to make a record of that. They loved that song. You guys got to go in the studio and cut it.
Mm-hmm. And they did, yeah. And it became a national hit, and it goes like
when
this.
Everybody's heard about the bird. Bird, bird, bird. The bird's the winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. The bird is a winner. Bow, bow, bow.
Words lifted directly from Shakespeare, or was that Mark Twain? I'm not sure. Surfin' Bird went to number 4 nationally. Huh? Our own group here, the Trashmen. Rick Shefchik, you write about this, and unbelievable story. First of all, the title. They were going to call it Surfer Bird, was that it?
Initially, yes. And you have to put this in context because the Trashmen were reacting to the 1963 surf craze, which had really swept the country. They had gone out to California a year earlier and realized that this was going to be the coming thing. And they actually turned themselves into a surf band for a while, although the core of their material really never changed. They were doing rock and roll, R&B, and, you know, Tony Andreessen became such a phenomenal surf guitarist that, you know, they could basically do anything that they wanted to do. But in 1963, in the fall, the surf craze was still huge, and so Surfer Bird seemed to be a good title for this, even though it had nothing to do with surfing.
We're one of the two landlocked areas exactly. Here where they had surf bands.
But Bill Deal heard the title, and he said, you know, it's too static. You want action. You want this bird to be surfing. So
surfing, not surfer.
Right. So change it from Surfer Bird to Surfing Bird. Put him in motion. And so they did that.
Let's hear Bill say something about it in his own words.
Right. Here we are.
I really cannot recall how I first met them, but we hit it off, all of us together. I think they were playing locally, mm-hmm. And we just started booking them and booked them more and more, and they had this takeoff on another recording done
by the Rivingtons.
Rivingtons, yeah. It was on a Liberty label, as I recall, Liberty mm-hmm. label. And they fished it up and they came to me and I said, I think it's terrific. Are you going to record it? Well, they were going to record it for somebody. And I said, that's great. But I said, that title is static. And we sat out there. What do you mean, static? I said, Surfer Bird. I said, there's no action. Surfer Bird is implied. He's standing there. Said, I said, mm-hmm. Jim and I call him Surfing Bird. He's moving. He's Surfing Bird. They loved it right away. They said, that changes the title.
A grounded bird became a bird in flight, huh? Surfing Bird right there. Bill Deal, the magic, the wisdom of Bill Deal, huh? Helping mold this oh-so-conservative guy in so many ways, embracing this wild liberal thing called rock and roll around here, too. Amazing.
And it's so amazing how this song has lasted so long. It was a big hit with Family Guy a couple years ago.
Yep.
It's been in a dozen movies, I think.
Yeah. Pee-wee Herman. Tony Andreessen, the lead guitar, told me they've made more money off Surfin' Bird being used for in 5 seconds in a national TV commercial than they ever got for record sales.
Rick, you got to tell them about the American Bandstand.
This is fantastic. At the height of the popularity of the song, it was broken in 63 and went into 64.
Right. By 1964, it was poised to be a number one song in the country. It didn't get get there because of the Beatles, but they were invited to go out to Dick Clark's American Bandstand. Except it wasn't they. Dick Clark wasn't willing to pay for the entire band.
Wait a minute, this guy's hauling down multi-millions of dollars.
And neither was Amos Heilitzer, even though he was hauling down multi-millions of dollars. So they said, just send us the singer. So that
the singer being the singer guy with
being,
that, yeah.
Being Steve Warren, yeah. Steve Warren, yeah. Who was calling himself Steve Ward at the time, by the way.
Really?
He did that for about a year, then reverted back to Warren. But so he goes out there and he has to make up some sort of a show as he's lip syncing.
Huh?
So he starts doing, I guess, the bird. he's dancing around and doing in circles and kind of flapping his arms while he's lip syncing to the song. And he actually got out of breath because he wasn't miming it. He was singing it. It's just that you would hear the record. You weren't hearing his voice.
His mic was not on, so he was miming
right.
the record. Okay.
But when Dick Clark brings him over to interview him afterwards, he can't catch his breath.
And record sales, even though the record had been out for a long time and it was red hot, I'm sure the record sales just went crazy the next day.
Oh,
they always did on Bandstand.
You couldn't get better exposure at the Bandstand.
So you lip sync it. Send one of the four guys out there because Dick didn't want to pop for the airfare. Yep. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Wow. We are remembering and celebrating the life of Bill Deal, a legend here. A lot of you know who he is. And if you don't know, you're learning a lot about a one-of-a-kind. He was a one-off. There'll be nobody like Bill ever, ever again. Probably couldn't be either, Rick. You know, it's just the circumstances are just not conducive to a guy, a Renaissance man like this.
Well, right. There wasn't anybody like him when he sort of created his role, and certainly nobody filled his shoes after he left.
Rick Shefchik and Don Effenberger, Stan Turner with you here. Bobby J. doing great stuff in the control room there, bringing up all these wonderful sounds of Bill Deal. We'll continue in just a minute.
The wait is over. Stan's back, and he's taking your requests and dedications. It's the Wolf Brewing Company All Request and Dedication Show on Club 1220 KLBB.
Stan with you here, Bobby J., and oh boy, remembering Bill Deal. There's no way we're going to forget Bill Deal. He has left such a huge imprint, and a positive one at that, on our local pop and music culture here. Bill passed away at age 91 this past Wednesday, and he is deserving of all kinds of tributes. He's getting a lot of them, too, guys. We've got Don Effenberger and Rick Shefchik, our pop music gurus, with us right here to help remember. They knew him. They worked with him at the St. Paul newspaper, and Bill figures prominently in Rick Shefchik's book, Everybody's Heard About the Bird, an entire chapter devoted to a guy who called himself, among other things, the Raja of the Records, Bill Deal. One of the guys who knew Bill so well, a great friend of his and of ours, is Tony Andreessen, the aforementioned Tony Andreessen of the Trashmen. He's on the record we played for you just a minute ago, Surfin' Bird. And Tony, so nice of you to be with us. We've lost, understatement, a great friend, a great positive influence on pop music and all the good things in life. So it's going to be tough to go on without Bill, isn't it?
It is, and it's wonderful to be able to talk to you about Bill Deal today. Bill was a pioneer, and you're aware of that, obviously, but he was quite a guy back in the day, you know. He did a lot of record hops, that's what we called them back then,
mm-hmm.
And I remember him in front of the band throwing some of the top 40 records out to the crowd. And he was just, he was one of those guys that was so comfortable in front of an audience. And he had a wonderful radio voice and he had a wonderful personality. And, you know, he drew a lot of people himself to the record hops, you know, with in the ballroom area around here. At you know, the prom and Chubb's ballroom and all those great ballrooms that we played with him, he was a real attraction.
He was. Tony, when Bill Deal took an interest in you and the Trashmen, you knew something very special had happened, that you guys stood a good chance of going places, right?
Well, he was the one that really was responsible for us cutting, recording Surfin' Bird. When we did it for the first time unrehearsed at Chubb's ballroom, I remember sitting in the back room and came up with this crazy voice, and we had heard a song, Papa Umau Mau, done by a group called the Sorensen Brothers at Woodley's Country Dam. I think it was the week before. We'd been thinking about it, anyway, we decided we'd just do it. And I remember we'd all look at each other and shake our heads when we were going to change keys, you know, going from E to B, and we didn't know what we were going to do. And we got done doing the song, and the crowd went crazy. And Bill, he said, "You've got to do that song again." So we did it four times, I think, that night. And he said to us, he said, "You've got to record that song." So we went in and recorded it. And we recorded, I think it was about 3 minutes and 20 seconds. And he said, "You've got to go in and redo it and make it about 2.5 minutes. Yeah. And so we did. We went in and did it. And he put it on the Battle of the Bands with wonderful Ouija. I remember that night he said he was making calls. And he said, "If you can tell us the last song played on wonderful Ouija, we'll give you $113 and a wonderful Ouija cash."
Wow.
And
wow.
He was the deacon of the disc for sure, but he put that on the Battle of the Bands, and it won. And then it went on the Battle of the Bands in Chicago, and it won. So
we
had something really special there. And so he was really primarily the guy responsible for that record being recorded.
And you're still performing it. I've heard you do the lead voice there. Of course, Steve Warer is gone, sadly, but you do the Surfing Bird song. And, boy, I could swear, it sounds like the original, and you're the best picker out there, too. No guitar slinger like you, my friend. Tony Andrews.
Say it again, Ben.
Yeah, well,
say
okay.
Hey, I'll
for $130 here on Wonderful Ouija. No,
Tony, I'll say it, too. Getting a chance to play with you a couple of weeks ago was one of the highlights of my life. You're just such an outstanding player.
Right. And there is an outstanding award coming his way. And Rick, Jeff, you should tell us about it. Something very special for the guy we're talking with right now, Tony Andreessen.
Yeah, last year, Mancini's, along with Dennis Donovan, who plays in their house band, came up with the idea of honoring a local music legend. And the first award last year went to Jim Johnson of the Underbeats. Tony was there that night. Many of the other musicians of the era and people who knew Jim very well came out. A lot of great music that night. Lonnie Knight was there. Unfortunately, Lonnie isn't with us anymore, but that was a real treat to hear him play that evening. But this year, we're going to do it a second time. It's called the Bill Deal Award, and this year's recipient is the most deserving I can think of, and that is Tony Andreessen.
Bravo, the guy on the phone right now. Congratulations, Tony. You deserve it, my friend. You deserve it.
Well, thank you very much. It was I was shocked when they gave me the call, and you know, I think it'll be a fun night like it was last year with Jim. When people called me and they told me about this award, it's kind of funny because they asked me who you think would be deserving of that award, and I said Jim Johnson. And so when they were talking to him, he mentioned me, and I was so flattered.
Well, you guys have run out of favorites now, so
mutual admiration society.
But Tony, I'm so happy for you on behalf of all of us. You have made such a positive contribution to music around here, and you're just a great guy. I count you among my very best friends, brother. So, thank you so much. Congratulations on a much deserved award. Any other? Just Bill Deal again. What to your mind is his greatest contribution?
Oh, I think just being Bill.
Yep.
Because he was such a for the bands here in town, he would play local music, and he kicked off a lot of careers. He was a guy that you could talk to. He's very approachable, very easy to talk to. He would listen to you, so a lot of the bands from that era, you know, they got a lot of work and became well known because Bill was willing to give them that opportunity, you know, that you get when they play your music on the radio. And a lot of radio stations simply wouldn't do that, but he was very open to the local musicians.
A mentor and a nurturer and all those good things. And so many people profited from Bill Deal. That's just wonderful.
They sure did.
Tony Andreessen, thank you so much and congratulations. Look forward to seeing you at the, if not before, at the award ceremony at Mancini's in October, my friend.
I really look forward to it, too. And thanks so much for the call. It was great talking to you all.
Thanks, Tony.
Okay. Yeah.
Good luck on the golf course, pal. He's a duffer, too, isn't he, Rick? Huh? Yeah. What a gentleman. Isn't he something, though? Just a terrific one of the very, very finest, Tony Andreessen. So we're going to take a break here, 12:49, celebrating the life of Brother Bill Deal. Back in a minute.
Sing a song, tell a story. It's the Wolf Brewing Company All Request and Dedication Show with Stan Turner. Call 651-275-1220.
There's the tune topper on Ouija, but where is it on the official Top 40? Stay right where you are to be in the musical. No, 1130 WDGY, the Top 40 survey, where there's always more platter and less chatter. Survey song number 26 on Ouija. Here are the Ventures, coming soon to Radio Wonderland for DGY Dance Day. Here are the Ventures and Perfidia.
Less chatter and more platter. How about that, folks? Brother Bill Deal.
Where's your buzzer and your horn, Stan?
They're in the repair shop. I overuse them. Oh, God. That's the sound of Top 40 radio, folks, circa 1957.
Oh, I miss it so much.
That's before KDWB came in here, about 1959, and started doing Top 40. And boy, you had not a battle of the bands. You had a battle of the Top 40 stations, right? Yeah. Right. I got to hook up with KDWB in 1965. Just, you know, Lou Riggert was still there, Randy Cook, all those people. So I got in on the last part in the newsroom, not spinning records, but I had a window on this wonderful rivalry, this sometimes bitter rivalry between the two stations. I mentioned Jim Johnson, the first recipient of the Bill Deal Award, and Rick Shefchik. He was with the Underbeats, among other groups, but the Underbeats for sure.
Right. Underbeats ended up moving to Los Angeles in the late 60s. Really the only group from this area that made that jump, that relocated and changed their name to Gypsy, and had some nice success there for a few years in the early 70s.
Had good success here, too, before they went west. They had, Foot Stompin'. That was their big one.
The funny thing about the Underbeats, though, is that the other bands always considered them to be the best. Musically, everybody wanted to be as good as the Underbeats, but the Underbeats never had a breakout record under that name, whereas, you know, the Gestures and the Castaways and the Trashmen all made, national top 40. But the Underbeats just couldn't find that one record that would do that for them.
And they were a good-sounding band. Don Effenberg, the Underbeats, one of the big deal. And they, I guess they, like you say, they were the gold standard, even though they didn't break out with huge hits. One of their big ones, besides Footstop, and Bobby, if we could play it right here with the Underbeats, Sweet Words of Love right here, huh? Let's do it if we can do it, huh? We got so much going. One of the best from back in the day, back in the 1960s, the group, the Underbeats, local group here, Jim Johnson out front there with guitar and vocals. What a sound, Rick. Huh? And Don, isn't that great? Wonderful. Makes you proud, huh?
Oh, yeah.
From here.
Well, that's why he was picked for the first Bill Deal Award. His accomplishments, except for having the breakout single. I mean, he basically did anything and everything that you could out of this market.
We should remember that Jim Johnson left the Underbeats to go serve in the military during the Vietnam War, was in Vietnam for a couple of years, and came back a different guy.
He saw some terrible fighting when he was over there.
Yeah, and I saw him last October, and it poor guys, it's taken a toll on him. He served his country proudly.
Yes, he did.
Served it well. And, he's given us a beautiful legacy, though, and he's still around inviting people over to his house. I guess he can't play anymore.
Not in performance, but he'll pick a few songs in his living room.
Don Effenberger, a great story about Bill Deal and his MC work, and I guess he holds a record. I don't guess. I know he holds a record of sorts for MCing, huh?
Yeah. Last summer, Eric Taros, an expert on Beatles stuff, was in town to use some of the video and audio that Bill shot of the Beatles in Chicago in 65.
Bill shot of the video of the Beatles.
Bill and Helen actually shot some, too.
All right.
And part of it ended up in Ron Howard's documentary that came out last year, 8 Days a Week. But Eric, when he was here, said he's convinced that Bill was the only DJ in the world, or he said in America, but it's got to be the world, too, to host concerts by Elvis, two by Buddy Holly, one by the Beatles, and then the early Rolling Stones flop at Excelsior. So it's quite an honor.
And I would, if Bill were here, he'd say, "Did I? I didn't know that." Well, he knew. Our salute to Bill Deal here, and one of the songs, one of the many rock songs locally produced here that Bill would have played many times on his radio show on wonderful Ouija, Castaways, right?
Castaways from Richfield High School.
Yeah. Big hit here, a national one, huh?
Yeah, it went, I think, top 12 nationally, number one in Los Angeles and a number of markets. It was huge.
Folks, if you got some memories of Bill Deal here as a listener or having met him or whatever, maybe a record hop and Bill threw a record your way literally and you caught it, call us up. We'd love to reminisce with you. Let's have the castaways and Lyle Lyer take us out. We'll be back with more of our salute to Bill Deal right after the news at the top of the hour. Stay with us, please.
This is where your music and memories live. Club 1220. K-L-B-B. Stillwater, Minneapolis, St. Paul.